Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, once one of the most controversial laws in America, is not doing well. Several health insurance companies have pulled out of state exchanges. They're citing rising costs, fewer people signing up, and the fact that they're losing money. 20 million Americans do have new private health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Millions more have qualified for Medicaid, expanded under the law. But for those covered under the exchanges, premiums are rising by as much as 10% in seven states. Larry Leavitt is a senior vice president for the Kaiser Family Foundation. He says the faltering exchanges are a concern, but they're not the end of Obamacare.
The main reason insurers are leaving is they're not making money. An insurer that's not profiting on Obamacare business is not going to stick around in this market for long. The reason they're not making money, one is that not enough healthy people have signed up. You know, Obamacare guaranteed insurance for people who are sick, people with pre-existing conditions, and they signed up as soon as they could. The challenge has been getting healthy people to kind of balance that out. And then the second thing is, you know, this is a competitive market. In fact, this market has proven to be even more competitive than people thought. And some insurers are making money, but others, particularly these big national insurers like Aetna, aren't. I mean, they're just having trouble competing.
Why haven't they attracted enough healthier patients? First of all, does healthier mean younger when it comes to insurance? And could they get more of them if the penalties were worse, let's say?
Generally, younger people are healthier, although the real key here is getting healthy people of all ages. The Affordable Care Act built in carrots and sticks to try and get healthy folks to sign up. The carrots are the subsidies available to low and middle income people that lower their premiums. The stick is the so-called individual mandate, you know, that you face penalties if you remain uninsured. And, you know, there was a big debate when Congress was considering the Affordable Care Act, whether the subsidies were big enough to make insurance affordable and whether the penalties under the individual mandate were big enough to nudge people into signing up. And, you know, I think what we may be finding is both are issues, that the subsidies may not be enough and the individual mandate may not be quite strong enough either.
And so now for patients or for people who carry this kind of insurance, they're going to see premiums going up faster this year than they went up last year. Especially people in rural areas are going to find in many cases they only have one choice of plan. None of these are good signs. Are the exchanges in trouble? Is it time to say that?
There are red flags. There are certainly red flags. You know, there are parts of the country, particularly rural areas, where there are going to be fewer plans available. In fact, now 31% of counties in 2017 look like they'll only have one insurer available, mostly in rural areas. And the premiums are going up faster. So, you know, a lot hinges on how the next open enrollment period goes. Enrollment for Obamacare plans in 2017 starts November 1st, right before the election. And if things go well, you know, if more people sign up, then I think a lot of these current concerns will fade away and insurers will feel pretty good about the future. But if enrollment starts to drop, then I think you may see more insurers exiting and a big debate next year about how to fix these exchanges.
And fixing the exchanges is the next big question, clearly a call for the next president. Donald Trump says he would work to repeal the Affordable Care Act. It's a familiar position for Republicans. Hillary Clinton would want to improve it, a familiar position for a Democrat. But improving it at this point means what? Does it mean increasing those subsidies? What else?
You know, if you look at what Hillary Clinton has proposed, she suggested, as you said, improving the subsidies, you know, giving bigger subsidies to low and middle income people. She's also talked about a national outreach campaign to encourage more people to sign up, since there's still a lot of confusion out there about the help that's available or the penalties people face if they don't sign up. And Clinton has proposed a public option plan, a public insurance plan that would be available in areas where there's inadequate competition. Republicans have been unanimous in their calls for repealing the law, which certainly does fix the exchanges in a sense, but would also leave a lot of people uninsured, since the ACA has covered 20 million people already. There are definitely ways to fix the exchanges. The question is whether our political system can actually come together and figure out what those fixes are.
And those political incentives are going to be really important. I mean, what are the chances, if Hillary Clinton is elected president, that Republicans would sense, you know, a mandate on her part and would want to participate in fixes?
So far, we're 6 years into Obamacare, and there really hasn't been any kind of kind of normal discussion over how to tweak the law, whether that's tweaking it in a liberal direction or a conservative direction. You know, we've been stuck in this stalemate between either repealing it or keeping it as is.
There are 11 million people in these exchanges that are having some trouble right now that we're talking about. We should point out that this is a vast, vast minority when you compare it to the 150 million people who still get their health insurance at their work. And we're not talking about the same group of people.
No, I mean, you know, there have been these headlines about Aetna pulling out of the exchanges, United pulling out of the exchanges, you know, massive premium increases of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% in some cases. And if I didn't do this for a living, I'd look at those headlines and I'd be worried if I had insurance on my job through Aetna or United. But the reality is this is we're talking about a very small percentage of people with insurance. You know, the vast majority of Americans get insurance through their employer, through Medicare, through Medicaid, and none of this instability we're seeing now in the exchanges affects them.
People like to use this term, death spiral, for failing exchanges. If they start to do poorly, they get fewer people signing up, and then the whole thing spirals from there as the insurance company makes less and less money. You mentioned this next enrollment period. If it doesn't go well, is that the beginning of a death spiral?
I think the risk of an actual death spiral where premiums get completely out of control is very low. And the reason is these subsidies. 85% of the people in the exchanges are getting a subsidy from the federal government, and that subsidy cushions them from premium increases, especially if they're willing to switch to a cheaper plan. So I think a risk of a death spiral is really low, but there are some states that are in trouble. And it's important to remember that insurance risk is pooled at a state level, meaning that things are going well in California as they are. That doesn't really help Tennessee or Arizona where things are going poorly. So, you know, if things do get out of control, it's likely to be in some specific states. It won't be a kind of nationwide problem.
Larry Levitt, Senior Vice President for the Kaiser Family Foundation. Thanks, Larry.
My pleasure.